Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Philadelphia Flyers have just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 5-4 margin, a victory won by Philadelphia in overtime. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by Richard Pollock. Richard, where to begin on what was a hectic, entertaining, gray hair-inducing night here at MTS Center?
Where to begin, Drew? I mean, I think the game begins and ends with goaltending, if you want to sum it down to one part of the game. I think that we'll talk about and we'll break down a number of the aspects of the game, and of course, the nine goals that were scored tonight. It seems like goals are always scored when Philly and Winnipeg face each other this year, but at the end of the day, for the most part, I mean, I get the end result was the worst goaltender won, I guess, tonight. But
yeah,
the story of the game was goaltending. Had it not been for Pavlik's amazing performance and Brizgalov's poor performance, I think the score would have been discrepancy.
Probably about 13-1.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been.
Yeah. 55 shots for the Philadelphia Flyers tonight, so 50 saves for Andre Pavlik. The Jets had 4 goals on 26 shots. Philadelphia dominated the game from start to finish. You track chances, and I mean, on your sheet that I'm looking at, where you normally 30 scoring chances in the game is enough for you to fill them all out?
Usually,
and you're up to what, 45, 46? 43
tonight.
And the majority of those are Philadelphia, even strength.
28 of those are Philadelphia.
28 to 15 in even strength scoring chances.
They dominated every period, first, second, third, and overtime.
Absolutely. The Jets were fortunate to escape with 1 point here tonight.
And that can be summed up quite simply, well, two things, really. Goaltending and
poor goaltending.
And special teams. And
yeah,
the Jets have been absolutely on fire on the power play.
Yeah.
And that's an element, that's an aspect of the game, and it counts just the same. And they've looked great on the power play. The puck's moving well, and
It helps to be playing a goaltender who was the equivalent of a sieve when you look at Ilya Brizgalov tonight.
I mean, the first goal, I guess, start there, Drew. The first goal, Dustin Byfuglien on the power play. The puck worked its way around the offensive zone on the power play. Comes up to Tim Stapleton on the right point. He passes over to Dustin Byfuglien on the left point. Byfuglien kind of on his, not necessarily on his back foot, but like
he wasn't climbing in. He wasn't inching into the zone. He was pretty close to the blue line also.
And standing. Takes the puck as a hard shot, shoots it. No real screen, goes low short side for Brizgalov. First goal, and you're thinking to yourself, well, just got to save that.
Oh.
Never mind how much money he's getting paid. Just goalies, NHL goalies have to save that.
That's right.
1-0 for the Jets.
1-0 for the Jets, exactly. That came in on the power play at the 12:31 mark of the first period. A period to, as we've discussed, briefly mentioned, and we'll talk about throughout the rest of this podcast, is simply put, the Philadelphia Flyers had dominated the entire period.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Flyers did dominate the entire period, Drew, especially in the middle there. You know what? Their puck movement tonight was exceptional, I'd say. It's probably the best I've seen all year. They're moving the puck not only north-south, but also east-west with ease, with speed, with size, and their forward core looked as good as any forward core I've seen all year from top to bottom. It was a dominating performance, really, from their forward core.
It goes to show you how dangerous this team is, that team being the Philadelphia Flyers, if they get even average goaltending.
Yeah.
I mean, today they had poor goaltending, and they've had poor goaltending for the majority of the year. If they get average goaltending, and I mean, this seems like this will be their defense going forward to the playoffs. I don't think their defense is good enough to do any significant damage in the playoffs, but the four forward lines that they can throw at you and the dominating puck performance that they had was simply breathtaking.
If the goaltending does turn around, if it does, and it's possible,
yeah,
if it does.
Just to even middle of the pack.
With this offense.
Doesn't matter.
Beat anybody.
No, this offense was simply incredible.
Every team's got a flaw, Drew, and this, they have maybe 1.5 flaws. Even so, that goaltending flaw can be rectified because he has the skill. Just mentally, right now, he's completely not there.
Yeah. The Flyers tied the game up at the 15:50 mark of the first period. Claude Giroux with the goal, assist to Scott Hartnell and Matt Carl. Like a lot of the Philadelphia goals, they were simply a function of puck possession in the Jet zone. Mm-hmm. Putting the puck on net.
A power play one, of course.
Putting the puck on net, scramble in front and a goal into the net. The Jets' defense just couldn't handle the Flyers in front of the net or really at any point during in terms of the puck possession.
We're talking about the
first Flyers
first
goal. It was
not a power play goal, yeah.
No.
This one was scored by
Claude Giroux.
Yeah, sure, Giroux.
Yeah, scramble in front of the net.
What happened was in the first period, Drew, is the Jets decided that they wanted to match up Johnny Oduya and Ron Hainsey up against the Giroux line.
The Giroux line being Claude Giroux, Scott Hartnell, and Wayne Simmonds.
That's right, a line that was dominant all night. That matchup didn't work out well for the Jets, and they adjusted that after the first period. The first goal was a blown coverage that included one Oduya to Ron Hainsey, his partner, and three Jim Slater. The GST line was, of course, matched up against that line all night. The Jets switched out of that after the first period, deciding to go with Enstrom and Bufflin against that top line and putting Oduya and Hainsey up against the Jager, Briere, and Reed line.
Exactly right. At the end of one, it was 1-1, and the Jets were fortunate for it to be a 1-1 tie after one. The Flyers opened the scoring in the second period at the 109 mark on a power play. This one was Scott Hartnell's goal, assist to Wayne Simmonds and Kimmo Timonen. Similar shot from the point. Timonen shot from the point, scramble off Simmonds' stick over to Hartnell, and Hartnell's a kind of guy who gets all of his goals from within 3 feet around the net, and he's very difficult to handle in front of the net.
He was moving really well today and passing better than I've seen him play in a while. Scott Hartnell looks as good as I've ever seen him play right now. An impressive specimen, really, because of the size that he has and the speed and the willingness to engage in physical contact and a good slap shot and moving the puck. If he moves a puck like that, I mean, he's a really dangerous guy. And, a really prototypical Flyers type of guy.
Yeah.
So
does the dirty work, does the ugly work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jets were able to make it a 3-2 lead at the 9:50s. Tie the game at the 8:52 mark of the second period on the power play. Their second power play goal of the game. Andrew Ladd with assist to Blake Wheeler and Tim Stapleton.
A really nice pass by Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, Blake Wheeler's in behind the net, sees Andrew Ladd, just a quick, short little pass. Ladd
in front of the net, puts it where it's supposed to go.
That's right.
Good execution by Ladd, good pass by Wheeler.
Good play by Stapleton to get it in deep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, pretty straightforward.
Stapleton's second assist.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Stapleton's second assist on the game. He did end up with three altogether, but a pretty textbook goal. Put it in deep, that your guy... gained possession behind the net, and then Ladd just really came open untouched.
Absolutely.
And he put it past Brizgalov. No fault of Brizgalov on that one.
Nope.
was just a legitimate goal scorer's goal. The Jets managed to take a 3-2 lead just over a minute later at the 9:56 mark of the third period. Andrew Ladd is second in the span of just over a minute. Assist to Brian Little and Dustin Bufflin. Brian Little with the win on the faceoff. Brings it back to Bufflin. Bufflin with the shot.
And that was all, Drew, that was actually a passing play that every single Jet on the ice touched the puck, and that was Andrew Ladd, Wheeler, Little, Bufflin, Enstrom all touched the puck.
Right.
And you can't give give four assists, but might as well have on that play.
It started with the faceoff win, though, deep in the Flyers'
absolutely,
zone.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was a clean win by Little. We don't have the stats in front of us, but, he was pretty good on the faceoff draws for most of this game, I thought.
I didn't watch that closely, but...
Little wins it back. Exactly what you want to see. You want to see it come back.
Every touch the puck was going where it was supposed to go.
Exactly right. And then Andrew Ladd, jammed it behind Brizgalov. Again, not really Brizgalov's fault.
Those
middle goals for the Jets, the second and third goals, were
good
just...
Good execution.
Good execution by the Jets. But, again, it really boils down to, as we've spoken about most of the night here, is that they couldn't control Philadelphia. And we're watching Claude Noel start his press conference now on TSN Jets, and I'm sure that he's got some gray on the sides. I'm sure there's more gray there now than there was. Yep. This is not the kind of game that Coach Noel wants to see his team playing. This was very much riverboat hockey, pond hockey. Trading chances on both ends. Also, even if the Jets go into their shell, and if they played a more defensive style of game, I don't know that they can handle the Philadelphia Flyers.
I agree.
So, I mean, it's sort of hard. There's a class system on the ice, and the Philadelphia Flyers outclassed the Winnipeg Jets offensively tonight.
Yeah, they did.
The Flyers,
the Jets don't have the offensive ability to take advantage of the Flyers' poor defense.
No,
not poor defense, but not as good as maybe. Well, obviously, without Pronger, it's significantly worse.
Before we get to the Flyers' third goal that tied it up, how much do you think Zach Bogosian's absence affected the Winnipeg Jets?
It's huge, Drew. I mean, I said that. It was going to be a significant factor against Boston. They seem to hold off quite well. Minnesota and Colorado really aren't much in the way of offense. Colorado's essentially a one-line team with a little bit of secondary scoring. In terms of actual firepower, Minnesota's not much in the way of anything aside from the Koivu line. And then you obviously have Boston, although they're missing a few of their guys, they were definitely dangerous, but Bogosian was missed there. But especially tonight, Drew, I mean, he would have been on the ice for the last goal, which we'll talk about. likely. But you know what? They what happens with Bogosian is you elevate one of Hainsey or Duyev, not both. Well, you do. You elevate both. You know, if you're playing Bogosian with Stewart, for example, which they had in the past, not recently, but they had in the past. If you're doing that, Odie and Hainsey are 5-6.
Right.
They're playing 3-4 tonight, and they were victimized time and time again, and leads us into the next goal.
Yeah, exactly right. The next goal came at the 11:14 mark of the second period. Max Talbot, I mean, he's their fourth-line center.
Fourth-line left winger.
Pardon me, fourth-line left winger.
Now on that,
and he's got his 20, and he has 22 goals on the year.
17.
17?
About 17.
I thought it was over 20.
Remus, want to check that?
Pretty
sure 17.
Max Talbot.
He's got 17.
Sorry. Yeah. Regardless.
But on that point, Drew, you have Talbot, and it ended up being Briere on that line with Talbot and Ronaldo.
Right.
Briere's a great player. Second line center, first line center on many teams. Having said that, Odie and Hainsey cannot allow, and the GST line thing was on that for that goal as
GST
well.
GST line was had a rough night.
You cannot have a fourth line left winger. Now I know Talbot's a good fourth line. He's really a third line left winger. Talbot and the Ronaldo, kind of a scrapper. You can't have them and Briere. You can't have them victimizing you. And again, your 3-4 defensemen getting victimized by 2 4th liners.
Right.
Even if they are quality 4th liners, and maybe you guys are elevated. You know, perspective is something with Talbot. Another team is 3rd line, and then Odie and Hainsey are 4th.
Your point's well taken. That's the one line where the Jets hope to have a little bit of a break.
That's right.
Where they don't necessarily fear. You know, it's not the Flyers' goal scorers line traditionally.
The theme tonight is Odie and Hainsey. They got completely victimized time and time again. And don't get me wrong, they weren't alone.
No.
But they were on the ice when the goals came in.
To the Jets' credit, it was 3-3 after 2. The Jets managed to get a 4-3 lead again on the power play. The Jets had 3 power play opportunities. This is a terrible goal. Abysmal goal, and we'll get to it in a second. Jets had 3 power play opportunities today. They scored on all 3. They're now 5 in a row on the power play, which is, for a team that's been struggling, that's a hell of an improvement on the power
absolutely.
Play. This one was just, this was embarrassing, really.
It really was.
And, I mean, you'll hear at the end of this podcast, that you'll hear from Ilya Bryzgalov. So you can hear his comments, assuming that...
did he speak to the media?
Ezzy, did you...
What do you have to say?
Ezzy, jump on here. Give a preview of what Ilya Bryzgalov said.
You there?
Hello.
Hi, Ezzy. Ezra Ginsberg of Legal Curve, who just spoke with Ilya Bryzgalov in the dressing room.
Bryzgalov spoke with the media right at the end.
Yeah.
The media wanted to talk to him first, but then they were waiting for TSN Jets to get there so they could get an interview with him. But, I mean, he just talked about how the Flyers bailed him out, and he complimented Pavlik and how he played. And it was a pretty funny interview. He was laughing. And the tone in the Flyers dressing room was generally upbeat. I mean, how could it not be with that come from behind win? But Bryzgalov was laughing, and he was pretty chill. And how could you not be after
easy
escape?
To laugh when you escape
exactly.
from the victory there? And we'll talk about that. But you'll
all
hear.
Right, I guess that's it for me.
You'll hear that audio in its entirety coming up after this. Evander Kane. With his with the Jets' fourth goal, it came on the power play 4:57 into the third period. It was a rec league wrist shot.
Yeah,
it was really a rec.
It
was a rec league wrist shot that Ilya Bryzgalov simply whiffed on it with the glove hand. Went in the back of the net. The chance of Ilya were immense here at MTS Center. Assist to Tim Stapleton, his third of the year. You can't really analyze.
Third of
the game. You can't analyze the goal too much. It was just that bad.
Yeah, that bad.
The Jets held on for dear life. I mean, at that point in time, for the next 15 minutes, it turned into...
Well, let's talk quickly about the Jim Slater play. Jim Slater, Matt Reed comes and he... It was Matt Reed, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was Matt Reed. Yeah.
Came across the middle of the ice, that had his own blue line, and ended up hitting Tobias Enstrom. Jim Slater decided
clean
to...
Clean hit?
I didn't get to see the replay too many times. I thought it was a clean hit. I think it was shoulder to body. And it looked clean hit in the first try. Again, we don't have
And it wasn't he didn't totally get him. It was a glancing blow.
Yeah, it was a glancing blow. Now, Jim Slater comes in and engages. You like to see him back up his teammate. But it's different when Evander Kane goes for backing up himself last game.
Sure.
Up 2 goals.
Right.
I took a double minor, but up 2 goals, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to today when Slater jumps in. And, I mean, teams have to stop jumping in for these hits all the time. It's enough already.
Well, it's an NHL-wide problem.
Okay, NHL-wide problem. But he comes in and he takes the extra 2 minutes. Could have been.
Should
because good penalty killer, face-offs, and they killed the penalty and they bailed him out. But that was a bad penalty to take.
Let's be honest.
And I think that was bad officiating also, and I'll tell you why. That was a fight. That wasn't Slater got four got four for roughing.
At the end of the day, Drew, at the end of the day,
well, the difference is if they give him Slater got four for roughing.
Should have got 5 and 2.
Reed got 2 for roughing.
Been five, five,
what
and
it
should
have been
yeah.
is they each should have got 5 and for instigator. Fighting. Slater should have got the instigator for 2, and then it's a game misconduct on top of that, is it not? I believe if you get the 2 minute instigator.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so the refs kept Jim Slater in the game really by declaring it a 4 minute roughing penalty and a 2 minute roughing penalty for Matt Reed. Yeah. But that was a fight in any which way you call it. At that point, I mean, the Jets killed off that power play for the Flyers, but they were holding on for dear life. Yep. It was the Andre Pavlik show from then on for the rest of the game.
Well, the save he made on Voracek is the save of the year.
Save of the year. Diving, I mean, he's on the right side of his crease. Voracek gets...
And the puck on the backhand on a rebound.
Dump
it in the net.
It's a wide open cage.
And Pavlik literally jumps across the ice, catches the puck. And it's a save almost reminiscent, if you remember, 1997, going back in the old school, Curtis Joseph on Joe Nieuwendijk.
Yeah.
Similar to that, obviously not the stakes in, I believe that was game 7 of the first round.
It might have been louder in here tonight, though.
Maybe, than Dallas for sure. But yeah, that save was incredible. And the Jets should have helped him out because they didn't give him much help all night.
No. And then they were holding on for dear life. Everybody in the arena was holding their breath. And then with 10 seconds to go in the game, James Van Riem's like, who I didn't think was very noticeable throughout the...
Oh, I disagree.
You thought it? You noticed
I thought he was good. Yeah.
Look, everybody on that team's good. I didn't think...
I thought he was engaged. I thought he went to the net. He had chances. I like James Van Riem's like, game tonight. It's something to be honest
with you. I think there were a lot of Flyers...
He's available. The Jets should be making that call.
Well, of course. I think there were a lot of Flyers forwards that I thought...
That's true. I thought Voracek was good.
Yeah.
Drew, you're right. I mean...
Look, he was very good. But of all the I thought he was maybe... The 7th or 8th best Flyer tonight?
I mean, I can... Aside from Matt Reed and Couturier, everybody else was noticeable.
You thought Ronaldo was noticeable?
I mean, he's on ice for a goal. He's a fourth liner. He's creating something. So, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, for his role.
Yeah. Anyways, what happened is James Van Riem takes up the puck with a head of steam, streaks over the Jets' blue line.
Okay, well, let me get there. Let me cut in right there.
Okay.
James Van Riem comes up. Okay, there's about 15 seconds left. James Van Riem's comes up the middle.
Yeah,
he's got a cut around a Jets defender. I don't know who it was. Right about where the offside faceoffs will be. So the dot right outside the circle.
Stick check him.
Okay, so but Van Riem's has to veer off course.
Yeah.
Okay, meaning the guys, if you play hockey, the guys at the line have to straddle the line or stop. So it's really no speed.
You're talking about the Flyers players.
Yes, for the most part, they got six guys on there.
He's the only guy with any speed hitting the zone.
Well, there's only one other guy. So Van Riem's cuts up to the top. Along the boards, Enstrom pursues him.
Streaking down the left-hand side of the left side.
Simmons comes up the middle, really the only guy with serious speed up the middle. Because
Wayne
he's behind.
Because he's trailing the play.
He's trailing the play. He's coming up the middle. Everybody sees the play. I mean, there's 9 seconds left. You know where the puck is going. Okay?
Yeah.
You know where the puck is going. And Van Riem's goes down. Enstrom does a job. Not a great job, but Enstrom's not a big guy. Goes down.
He puts him off to the corner, which is where you want him to put him.
You want to intercept the pass, ideally.
Right.
But he doesn't do a poor job, necessarily. You want to get in the stick lane. But any event, that's not the problem here. So Van Riem's goes all the way down the ice, down the side.
So he's along the goal line almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
And he makes a pass to Simmons, what everybody sees coming.
Simmons, who's coming right up the middle.
And Dustin Byfuglien lets him get behind.
Dustin Byfuglien, whose run job in this play is to...
To not let anybody get behind him.
That's right. It's to really be right on top of the goal crease and to use
There's only one rule.
To use his
size.
Don't
let anybody get behind you.
Yeah. To use his size and body the guy off the
You can't let somebody get between you and the goal.
Right.
I mean, that's just basic.
That's right.
Let's him in. Simmons does a great job, gets a stick on the ice. Beautiful pass by Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah. Oh, the pass is tremendous.
Put
all Simmons has to do is redirect it. He redirects it past
stick on the ice,
Pavlik. No chance for Pavlik.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, the Jets had been getting dominated, but you could feel the energy suck out of this building. And 4-all, they go to overtime, where the dominance continued.
Yeah.
The Jets had, I think, one shot in the entire overtime.
Yeah, they had one chance.
Yeah, Andrew Ladd, with a solid wrist shot. But
We didn't mention Drew. And Brizgalov was brutal tonight. But Brizgalov's save on Ladd on the left side.
The glove save.
Up 4-3.
That's right.
Game's over if he scores.
Yeah, what happens is...
They're giving up chances, but likely.
Andrew Ladd's coming down the left-hand side, cuts into the middle with a wrist shot
on a
2-on-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, with the Wheeler.
2-on-1.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Takes the shot, as he should.
Yeah.
He should shoot in that opportunity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Brizgalov flashed the glove, and, he had to make the save...
Sometimes they say, I don't know if I agree necessarily at all times, but sometimes they say it's not what's how many saves is when you make them. But
that's right. Jagr ends up winning the game in overtime at the 4:16 mark. You know, it was just a matter of time. Well, Oduya and Hainsey.
That's right.
Well, they were victimized all night. We spoke
they got
about
mixed
it.
Up I mean, their coverage there.
Yeah, I mean, they were victimized. They were tired. I mean, look, the Jets had been the play had been in the Jet zone probably for 18 of the 20 minutes of the third period.
And that's pick your poison too, right, Drew? Because you got Giroux in the next run.
That's right.
So one of them you got Jagr and Briere. The next one you took Giroux and Hartnell. And then who are you going to put out? Enstrom and Bufflin, and they get dominated too.
Doesn't matter.
Can't handle those guys.
Nobody could handle it. The Jets were praying for the shootout, but they couldn't get that far. End up losing 5-4. Doesn't cost them anything in the standings, as the Maple Leafs also lost tonight. Maple Leafs got a point, for they lost in overtime. The Jets got a point, they lost in overtime. Look, it had been 10 more seconds. If Dustin, I mean, you don't want to, you know, the whole game isn't on Dustin Bufflin for not making that move.
No.
But if he makes that, if he plays it the way he should in front there, maybe the Jets escape, and escape would be the right word, with the victory in regulation time. And then that would have been a much bigger, getting those 2 points, even though it's only the difference of 1 point, getting the 2 points in regulation, as opposed to the overtime loss point, made a world of difference.
Moving forward, it comes down to what this team is going to be, how the team's going to react on Thursday to a team in Tampa Bay who sold Kubina, who sold Dominic Moore. By the way, rightfully so, and Steve Eiserman's got a nice jump on the gun.
Yeah.
But they sell Moore, they sell Kubina. McCovey, as you mentioned.
Sold Steve Downey, no Vincent LeCavalier.
McCovey is up. So, I mean, if you don't come back Thursday and win that game against a team that's sold, haven't had poor goaltending all year.
Yeah.
Lack on defense, lack offensive depth now, really, with some of those guys.
Well, that's right. So they're now St. Louis and Stamkos. That's it.
You'll see, and that's a hell of a combo. But yeah, you'll see exactly. You're exactly right. And you'll see on Thursday, the Jets take care of business, or they feel bad about themselves after this game.
That's right. And that'll be determining. Before we wrap it up here, we spoke about Ilya Bryzgalov. He escapes with the win today. He was terrible.
Terrible.
Do you think that this is the kind of game where even though he's terrible and they still manage to get the win, do you think that maybe he can use this as a rallying point, or is there just so little optimism that you can take from this performance tonight?
It's a good question.
I mean, funny guy. You never know when he's going to catch lightning in a bottle
maybe
again.
Maybe not, but I mean, he's too unpredictable. But I'd say for the most part, I'd say right now he just hasn't looked good at all, period. So I don't know when he suddenly would look good. I think that the Flyers are continually bailing him out because of the production he's given them, and I don't see much in the way of confident play from him. He didn't look good side to side. He was getting trouble with some long shot. He just didn't look good. I don't know if I see him turning that around relatively soon. And it's going to be an interesting one for the Flyers, because I wonder if they're going to address that issue. Are they going to try and get him on a cheap Nabokov move and put Bobrovsky up in the stands? And you know what? I think it was. I wonder if it was Frank Cervelli or Tim Panasha, both down press row right now, writing their stories for the year for tonight's game. But one of them suggested that they might be interested in Nabokov, and I was like, I don't know. Give Bryzgalov, maybe ride him out a little more. Maybe you put in Bryzgalov. Maybe you bring in Nabokov a little more of a Bryzgalov's a veteran, but a veteran Russian presence.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, teammates on the Russian Olympic team, if you remember, they pulled Nabokov for Bryzgalov.
Well,
so I don't know.
The Russian Olympic team wasn't that good.
Yeah. So I mean, but. Maybe that does help. Does it cost you much? I don't know. But, I'll tell you one thing, Drew. There's always one running storyline with the Philadelphia Flyers since about 1974 or 5.
Lindbergh.
What's it been? It's been goaltending.
Yeah. And if they can even get up to a mediocre average level, the offense that they're putting out there is simply incredible.
Now, I know with Pronger out, obviously they're allowed to make more moves in terms of salary cap flexibility. But this team had Chris Pronger this year. That's
stacked.
Stacked.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you also, I mean, the Richards and Carter moves,
they look pretty smart.
They don't look bad right now.
There's not very many teams. In fact, I don't think there's any teams who can match their offensive depth right now.
But I know the argument, of course, is you're looking better with those guys.
Well,
and the money spent on Bryzgalov. The money's not spent on Bryzgalov, spent on Carter and Richards.
Yeah, but who would you rather have? Who would you rather have?
Maybe they sell one of those guys, keep some young guys. We could argue about that until the cows come home.
Of course.
But they're a pretty well-oiled machine up front. The questions on defense and in goal will tell.
Will either resolve itself or they'll be their drawback, that'll be what costs them this season. But this is a very dangerous Philadelphia Flyers team.
Yes.
Thursday night, Tampa Bay Lightning in town. That'll be a 7:30 start here at MTS Center. Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, a 7 a.m. start. We'll see if Ezzy is able to make it there in time due to the Jets Blues, a 1 o'clock afternoon game. Stay tuned for more post-game audio from both dressing rooms. We'll hear from Jets players and you'll hear from Philadelphia players. For Richard Pollock, for Michael Remus, and for our special guest there, Ezra Ginsberg, I'm Drew Mindell from the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for more post-game audio.